This is Vern Casper. Party Line was put on the air to give voice to problem solving in our community.
Talking local on WILO.
The Party Line Crew.
This is Party Line on WILO, at your side since 1960. This is your forum for public opinion and comment. The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent the views of WILO management, employees, or sponsors. Now let's join Party Line on WILO.
When will I be loved? Good morning, it is Party Line. That's a good one to start with. Well, I can tell you what. You've been loved by the love of God. This Holy Week is certainly evidence of that. We'll talk a little bit about that later on today. We got a great program scheduled for you, though. We're going to be talking to Hannah Daniels coming up at the top of the hour. All things 4-H, youth development educator for Clinton County. And then Emily Himmersbach is in the studio. We're going to be talking to Marketing and Communications Director Emily from the Community Foundation of Howard, Carroll, and Clinton Counties, all the great things they do. Before we do any of that, though, and we keep listening to little Linda Ronstadt, we're going to tell you what our sponsors are up to. TC Trailers, if you're not pulling a TC trailer, you're not pulling your weight. Ivy Tech Community College, changing lives. Big Old Tires in Lebanon. Big deals, save money now, 24/7. We love bigdeals.com. BooneCountyDailyNews.com, your free local news source for Lebanon and Boone County. CarrollCountyDailyNews.com, your free local news service for Delphi and Flora. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, your free local online newspaper for everywhere else. All things Clinton County. And then our HoosierlandTV.com sponsors brought to you. Our TV.com is brought to you by these fine sponsors. 51 West Event Center, The Farmers Bank, Sheep's Country Foods, Culligan Water of Boone and Clinton County, Day and Ginda Funeral Home, Solidarity Community Federal Credit Union, Sam I Am Carpet Cleaning, Big Old Tires in Lebanon, Arbor Wood by Shoops, Welty Exteriors, Newell Gas, Wesley Manor Retirement Community, Stone Alley Hardware and Industrial Supply, Community Foundation, serving Carroll, Clinton, and Howard Counties, Simplify Family Dental, Tornado Roofing, Siding, and Gutters, Witham Health Services, Ellis Jewelers, Marshan's Window Tinting, VFW Post 1110 in Frankfort, Copper Electric Surfaces LLC, Braden Business Systems, Avery Home Store, Lenin's Furniture and Mattress, Jerry's Body Shop, and Man Chevrolet GMC in Delphi, all making sure you get to see what you hear. How about that? And that's on HoosierlandTV.com, the online broadcast, not only bringing you Party Line, but all other events that we share in the community. So hope that you go out and sponsor all those fine folks making it happen each and every day. Well, speaking of today, I want to give you a brief glimpse of the weather. hang on. The Indiana weather roller coaster is back in action. A 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms mainly today after 5 o'clock. A high near 76 today. It's going to be breezy. In fact, there's already been a wind warning or a wind advisory issued till about 5 o'clock tonight. Tonight, showers and thunderstorms before 1, then showers likely and possible. A thunderstorm between 1 and 3 is what they're saying. Low is going to be 61. Tomorrow, we're going to be back up in the 70s, 75, with another chance of showers. Saturday, not much different. Chance of showers, 68, breezy. And Sunday, sunny, but that temperature does dip to 50. So just make sure you keep the windbreaker, the umbrella, the windbreaker, the rain slick, just the boots, just keep them all available. Don't put anything away just yet, right, Emily?
Yeah.
Good morning, Emily. How are
Good
you?
Good morning. I'm great.
Glad to let me get through all of my housekeeping stuff. So it's good to see you.
Yeah.
You're ready for Easter?
Oh, yeah. We're ready. Ready.
You were telling me off air you have a busy weekend planned with all the things going on at church and family. And hey, that's the time of the year we get to enjoy it.
Yeah, we get to kind of start our holiday celebrations for 2026.
Yes, absolutely.
With Easter.
Absolutely. So the Community Foundation is alive and well and doing some incredible stuff.
Yeah.
How did you... get involved with the Community Foundation. What's your story?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I got involved with the Community Foundation through our former president. You probably knew him, Greg Aaron.
Yeah, Greg was a great guy.
Yep.
He's still a great
guy.
He is.
He's enjoying retirement. Yeah. So, but I had worked for him prior to the foundation when he was at Ivy Tech, and he had an opening and called me up and said, hey, this is a great place to work. It's a great mission we've got. Do you want to come join us? And we talked a lot, and the rest is history. I won't leave this field. I love this field.
That's fantastic. And what is it that does attract a young, talented person like you to get involved in the nonprofit world?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think the biggest thing for those of us, you know, people that are my age, we want to have a role in the community that is serving, that we feel like we're making a difference. You know, I think to me, walking away each day, even if we've had a stressful day, walking out the doors and saying, like, we still are making an impact. We're still moving the needle in some way. And supporting the nonprofits in our community is just an amazing way to do that. We get to interact with all the really passionate people that we have in Howard, Clinton, and Carroll counties. And so I think that we look for, my generation, we look for ways to have an impact. And so being able to do that gives us something to go home and feel like we made a difference today. So
oh, yeah. Well, and I know that it's not always ice cream and roses, but it is because you've got to say no to people.
Yep.
There are times
yeah.
where there's applications that don't quite get it across the finish line, and those are no fun. But boy, when you do get to say yes and celebrate those victories, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, yeah, we get to say yes a lot. That's the beauty of it. I mean, you know, right now our committees are all working hard, making decisions on grants and scholarships. There's a lot of money that's getting ready to move out the door here. And so one of our scholarships committees met day before yesterday and spent, I think it was like 3 or 4 hours in the boardroom going over every applicant, every scholarship, making those decisions. I mean, people don't realize that behind the scenes, all of our volunteers come in and, you know, we've got so many people involved in the foundation that come in and volunteer their time to help us make decisions, because we as the staff are just the stewards. We make the work happen, but the volunteers are the ones that actually work on the decision-making process for us.
And so there is the regional board, the board that oversees the three county area, and then there's the local boards that also meet that discussed local projects as well.
Yep. Yeah, so our board of directors oversees all three counties, and we have people from our Carroll and Clinton County boards that sit on our board of directors, and then we have boards in Clinton and Carroll counties that make all of the local decisions, and any very big decisions they send up to the big board. But our board of directors really, they entrust our boards here in Clinton and Carroll counties that they know what's happening in their communities. And so I don't know that I've seen them not opt to do whatever was recommended by the boards here.
Right, right. Well, that's, it gives those of us that are localized, you know, a sigh of relief that, hey, there's local people looking at things and also pushing for projects that we know that might be needed in Clinton County. Of course, Carroll County has the same issue. Howard County has the same issue. But having the opportunity to have that local voice is important.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And we want to make sure that we're serving each community at an individual level, because there are differences between our three communities, even though they're close.
So we talked about celebration. We got some celebration this year coming up. This is the 30th anniversary, speaking of...
For Clinton County.
Yeah, for Clinton County.
Yeah.
That, Clinton County started... this in what, 1996? Amazing.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Crazy?
30 years. So, yeah,
thank God for Bill and Jean Beard. Those were some key people that helped start that.
Yeah, we have some amazing founding board members and just all the work that happened in 1996 to get this rolling. And so we're going to spend some time this year celebrating. But what we're getting ready for right now, and what I'm so excited to share with you for the first time publicly, is that we are working with the city of Frankfort to host a Clinton County 30th celebration. celebration concert in Prairie Creek Park. So we're really excited to have the opportunity to be a part of this. And that will be June 11th at 6:30 p.m.
That's my wife's birthday. So I could just bring her and just say, look, hey, we're having a big shindig, honey. So,
that's perfect. Yeah. Jack Toe Band is going to be there. And we're real excited. I can't tell you all of the details quite yet, but we have some pretty cool surprises up our sleeves. You know, if you know anything about what we do, there's some things that are going to happen at the concert that we're really excited about that we're just finalizing approvals on.
That's very cool.
To get some, to do some fun stuff. We're going to have swag bags. It's going to be a fun time.
Well, anytime it's always a fun time. Anytime the foundation gets involved, the foundation comes to town. It's always a fun time. So, band June 11th, about 6:30 start. But you're going to have a lot of fun, a lot of surprises, a lot of cool things going on.
Yeah,
we'll be praying for good weather. We'll be praying for some Chamber of Commerce weather that day.
There we go.
You know, 30 years, that is a milestone for really any nonprofit, but a foundation that has been grounded in giving money away, being able to keep that sustainability is a big factor.
Yeah. And, you know, it's so interesting. So I'm going to tell you in a minute about our office manager, Lucinda, who is retiring in a couple months.
Yeah, Lucinda's a good gal.
After 32 years.
Wow.
But I was working with her on some stuff to share, and she was sharing with me that when she started, so very beginning of the foundation, our asset level between the three counties was, I think she said $147,000.
Yeah.
And just last month, we hit $140 million in assets. So that's money. So the cool thing about foundations is, you know, there's endowment funds, and those dollars will continue to grow and continue to give back to the community forever. They're invested and grown, and then we take the growth and we get it back in the community. So it's really special to see just what has changed over the years and how much trust the community has given us to steward their dollars well and make sure that we, you know, impact our communities forever.
Absolutely. And that is a long lasting impact, that generational impact.
Yes.
And even though Lucinda there 32 years, that's a generation in itself.
Mm-hmm.
Lucinda has been a bright light and shining star
for sure
in the foundation, in the organization. And her last day is coming up in May, right? May 29th?
Yep, May 29th. And we are having a big open house for her. So that people, I know she, you know, 32 years in this organization, she knows a lot of people in all three of our counties, has interacted with a lot of our board members. I mean, thinking
she's
about
a sweetheart. Yep.
All the people that have come in and out. And so we wanted to give opportunity for everybody to be able to come over and give her a hug, tell her how great she's done, and, you know, give her well wishes for her retirement. We're excited for her. We're also really sad. We're going to miss her. We know that this will be a great thing for her. So, yeah, May 29th at the foundation office, downtown Kokomo, 12 to 4. We're going to have an open house and celebrate her.
Similar to Greg Aaron, when you had Greg Aaron's open, that was a fun time and enjoyed that. And I had a great day of celebration there.
Yes.
So we'll be there celebrating Lucinda's last day. Hard to believe. She's been there for 32 years. Great service. Just a great person. Great heart.
Oh my gosh,
has
for
a heart
sure.
for the community. That's for sure.
Yeah, she actually, her and her husband have established an unrestricted fund for each county.
Awesome.
So there's a fund in each county, and what we're doing with her invites is, you know, if people want to find a way to honor her, they can donate to her
fantastic.
Funds in honor of her, which are going to, you know, support the communities forever.
Amen. That's great.
Yes.
You've got Gifts of Grain.
Yeah.
What's going on with that?
Yeah.
And that's since we're getting ready to get into planting season.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
If the rain stops.
Right. We're working on some processes for that, and we're really excited to share that with the communities here soon. But really great opportunity to utilize a different type of gift. And so you'll see an article out there if you are connected as a local agriculture person with Indiana AgriNews, which I think a lot of you are. That's a statewide organization. Mm-hmm. They just did an article for all community foundations in the state of Indiana sharing what Gifts of Grain looks like for our local farmers and how they can do that. I know a lot of them do that with their churches and with other organizations, and we just want to make sure we're working on building out processes so that's easy for them to do that if they want to do that with the community foundation, whether that means an unrestricted fund or a fund that might support local FFA opportunities. We want to open those opportunities up to them. So we'll be working on some new stuff coming soon to make that process simple if they're interested.
Yeah, you mentioned church. Our church does the Harvest Sunday, mm-hmm. the Lord's Harvest Sunday. And, you know, basically how it worked was that farmers back in the day would give a percentage of their grain, a percentage of their yield back to the church. And what a great way to get the agricultural family engaged and involved. And it just makes all the sense in the world. So great. So more details to come.
More to come on that. We're working on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you have the annual report's not quite, is it? Yeah, it is out, right?
It's not quite out yet.
It's getting ready to come
out.
Okay.
Yep.
Maybe I just saw an email on that or something. But, but you guys are going to be featuring one of our own, Jack Ransom.
Yeah, we had the opportunity to talk with him, and you'll see on Facebook, there's a little sneak peek happening there. We haven't quite released our theme yet, but we're giving sneak peeks on what that might be. But Jack, we had the opportunity to talk about living above the line, which is something that his family lives by. And so we kind of asked on Facebook, like, what does that mean to you? And we're working towards releasing that. But there's a really cool article in there about his family and the work that they've done in the Clinton County community. They have a donor advised fund with the foundation. And so they choose to give grants out from their donor advised fund. And then we facilitate that for them. And they've had some just major impact in the community locally, which I know you know all about.
Yeah. Well, Emily, when those funds are created, do they gain a little more steam by being collected? I mean, by being a collective with the other funds?
And yes.
I mean, that's the power in that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they join our bigger investment pool. And so anytime dollars come in, we grow them through our investments, and then we take a percentage of the growth and we get it back into the community. The other percentage goes back into the funds to help them grow more so that those funds can last forever. And so, you know, I mean, you look at funds that were started 30 years ago, they're a whole lot larger than they were before, but they're also able to grant out more.
Yeah. Well, the Ransom family have been an incredible example of that in our community, and we appreciate that. Thank you for featuring Jack. It'll be anything with Jack is going to be stellar. It'll be fantastic.
It's great. So, I'm excited for you guys to see it in a couple months.
We're excited as well. So the leadership series is completed the most recent classes. So tell us a little bit about how that's working and going.
Yeah. So our leadership series is a 6-month series we put on every year. It's one half day every month for 6 months that we offer for free to nonprofit leaders. It's waitlisted every year. And this last month they did outputs and outcomes. So they discussed ways to make sure that they have numbers and data to back up the work that they're doing and the programs that they're putting out. Again, really this program is to help build exceptional leaders. And when I say that, I'm saying we already have fantastic leaders, but to just take them to the next level in their journey in leadership in the nonprofit space and to help our nonprofits locally have that sustainability to move forward in their processes and make sure that they're really strong. And so we invest in that to make sure that we're building great organizations that have just solid staff that know what they need to do and just have all the tools at hand that they need.
Yeah, because there's people come and go, and kind of, and there's folks bring different ideas and different ways of doing things. But I think really the key to a successful organization is that sustainability and being able to create a model that wherever the revenue streams are or wherever you are moving the organization, that is consistent.
Yeah.
And that's a challenge sometimes. Nonprofit is very much of a challenge because you're dependent.
Yeah.
You're often dependent upon what others may give or not give or be even the perception.
It's hard work. The people that are part of them are usually doing more than one job. And so we know that it is a sacrifice of time to come spend these times with these classes, but we also know that it's worth it for them, not just on the learning side, but also on the networking side. They learn a lot from each other in those classes. So we typically have between 25 and 30 nonprofit leaders in that room. And one of the biggest things that I always see with those classes is that they rub shoulders and share ideas and are able to help each other in a new way.
It's a coming together of minds and ideas, and There is a lot of power in that. I was in a meeting last night that kind of the same situation. There was a lot of energy because somebody made a statement that sparked conversation. Normally, yeah. Our meetings are very rigid and kind of just, you know, next item, next item, next item. In this case, it sparked a very robust conversation about regionalism and mm-hmm. what is going on, not just in Lafayette or in Kokomo or in Frankfort, but all over the region, all yeah. over the different counties. And, you know, the Community Foundation is a regional organization as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Lucinda has kind of been that connecting point. You are all of you that work there are connected by this network, but the energy is that you're able to go in these other communities and say, hey, you might check out what they're doing over there because they're mm-hmm. going through some of the same issues and they did this. Or, you know, sometimes you just sit and cry with them.
Yep. Yeah. We love to be a connecting point. And I think yep. that people don't sometimes realize that, yes, we do grants. Yes, we do scholarships. But one of the bigger things we do is the work that we do behind the scenes, sitting, you know, like you said, sitting with people, talking with them, giving them suggestions, connecting them with someone else who has a resource that they might need. And yeah, we do get to have a bigger network because we support three counties. We're one of a few affiliate foundations in the state of Indiana. Most of the foundations, I say a large majority, are single county foundations. But there's definitely some pretty big benefit to being a three county foundation because we get to really connect between the counties, and we also get to see the differences, which there
right,
are.
Right. And there is some wealth in those counties that have been, you know, really blessings to the community
by
sharing a portion of their wealth mm-hmm. To the community. And what a great, you know, resource that the Community Foundation is that some people say, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to mm-hmm. give. I don't know where to. Well, you know, you can put it in the foundation, and it a lot of times there's even matches and the opportunity for it to grow is really important to know.
Yeah. What I was going to say is our article for this year for the annual report in Carroll County is about Joanne and Dick McCain. That name probably familiar to you if you're from Carroll County. Mm-hmm. When they passed away, they didn't have any kids. And so they had a large estate gift that supports several nonprofits in Carroll County, including the Wabash Neri Canal Park. And what their gift does now is essentially support the salary of the staff there. You can't really describe what an impact that has in the community. And that was kind of their thing. I think they, you know, didn't know what to do with what they had when they weren't here anymore, and they wanted a legacy.
And I can't remember if that was Dan McCain's uncle or brother.
It is his family,
his
though.
Family.
Yes,
yeah,
we've
but,
talked
but,
to him.
Yeah, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
Dan is, you know, Energizer Bunny over here.
I mean,
he's the guy that put the trails together. He is just amazing. But what a legacy the McCain family have left because they said, you know what, we really don't want it just to go back to the government. Let's get it into the hands of people that could really use it.
And I think for them, they wanted to get it somewhere that was going to impact Carroll County forever.
Sure.
And you can't always, there's not a lot of places I would say that you can donate that, you know, 100% it's always going to stay
right.
in the county. And that's something that we can promise to you is
it can be restricted.
Well, and even if it's an unrestricted gift to Carroll County, it's always going to stay in Carroll
right.
County.
But I'm saying it is restricted to that county. If
yes.
you say that's where I want it to stay in.
Yep. If you give to the Carroll County Community Foundation, Carroll County. If you give to Clinton County, Howard County, we have a directive to keep those dollars in the community that they are serving. And so donors that, you know, do an estate gift like that can trust that when they pass, we will do our very best and follow their wishes to honor their charitable goals.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned scholarships a little bit ago.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk a bit about that in our last couple of minutes here. Scholarships.
Yeah.
Tell us just how much the foundation supports scholarships.
Oh, my gosh.
And what's coming up?
Well, I would say our donors, they really support scholarships.
Yeah.
And Bethany, our scholarships officer, just got through the last couple of weeks meeting with each county's scholarships committee. We had over, I think it was like almost 200 applicants between the three counties. So lots of students, lots of applications to go through. And we are working on getting those awards ready now. They'll go before the board in the next couple of weeks for approval. And then they'll start getting being announced in May, we like to go to the award nights at the schools. And so that's when the students will find out, and we're really excited to share that. And then you know what happens after that? I don't know if you've seen them start blooming. But our signs, our scholarship signs.
All over town.
Yep. So that's our big project at the beginning of June. We get to see parts of each county we've never seen before.
That's awesome. That's fantastic. And you guys are putting those out.
Yep. We do those manually.
You should just make Todd put those out. I mean, that should be Todd's job.
I'll let him know you said that.
tell him that he should, if he comes to Clinton County, I'll help him.
Okay.
But we have to have lunch though. So we'll get lunch and then we'll put out the signs.
And he would say Arnie's probably.
Oh yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, we'll do Arnie's. We'll do about anything. Then we'll have some ice cream afterwards.
There you go.
Hey, before we get out of here, what is your, give me some ideas on the, if people wanted to give, you have, what is that lowest level? You really don't have a ceiling, but you do have a floor of people that, if they wanted to donate, they wanted to say, like what Lucinda and her husband did, create a foundation account. How do they do that?
Yeah, so to establish a fund, it's $12,500. And you can also work with Emerald to, if you maybe don't have that right away, but you know over the next 3 to 4 years, you're going to have enough to make that. You can work on a legacy fund with her. And so that's where you would, start it in increments. And so that's a great way to do that. That's any fund type currently that we have. You can also, if you just want to donate some dollars, and I really try to break this barrier down a lot, because I think there's a misconception that you have to have wealth in order to be involved in the community foundation. And, we have donors that come in and give $10, and that's still has impact. That still grows. I want to encourage kiddos to get involved if they can. Parents can teach them how to give and how that impacts the community. And so there's lots of ways to do that. You can come into the office and give. You can go online and give on our website, which is cfhoward.org, cfcarroll.org, cfclinton.org, and then just click the Give Now button.
Yeah, well, and I will tell you, in 1996, it wasn't mega donors.
No.
We had some great families, but it was those people. I was working with Youth for Christ at the time, and I remember when everything was set up. There were grandmas and just folks that say, hey, if this is going to help our community, if this is going to move us forward, here's $100, here's $25. And it adds up. That $147,000 became what?
It's $140
million. $140 million. That's a pretty good investment.
Yeah. And we see that. You probably saw when we were fundraising for the Carroll County match. That was the last one to come in. That was a collective community effort. That was a lot of donors giving small amounts to make that happen.
Absolutely. Well, you're doing the Lord's work, Emily. Appreciate you, what you do, and thank you so much. How do folks get a hold of you? How can they?
They can get a hold of us through our websites, which I just mentioned, CF Howard, CF Clinton, cfcarroll.org. They can call us at 765-454-7298. They can visit us downtown Kokomo. We're across from the Kokomo Mantis.
the Mantis. I always like the Mantis. He always worries he's going to come to life.
Right.
Be like Godzilla in Japan and Tokyo. But 454-7298, that's the phone number. Impressed. You just know all that right off the top of your head. You're pretty good.
I repeated a little bit.
Todd would be proud. So, all right. Well, thank you so much. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Happy Resurrection Day. All right. God bless. Thank you, Emily. Emily, we appreciate just the whole team, Emerald, Lucinda, we're going to have the open house on May 29th. Of course, Todd, there's so many other folks that do things behind the scenes that make it happen and make it work, and we greatly appreciate them. We're going to take a quick break, come back, and talk all things 4-H here on this edition of Party Line. It's Monday, Thursday.